John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later this hour at 7:45. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans' 38-30 loss to Indianapolis to drop to 3-12 on the season. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, we discussed just the abysmal performance by the Titans yesterday earlier in the program. 335 yards allowed on the ground. They give up 38 points to an Indianapolis team that, quite frankly, is not very good, and certainly not very good offensively. Anthony Richardson completed 7 passes in the game, and he threw for 131 yards and a touchdown, and they still gave up 38 points to Indianapolis. Not all bad for the Titans yesterday, though, Joe. If you're looking at this through the lens of the draft, which God bless if you're looking at it through anything else, at this point, good day for the Titans yesterday. They lose the mighty battle between the Jags and the Raiders. Raiders end up winning that one to snap like a 10-game losing streak. They get to 3-12. The mighty Carolina Panthers with a big win yesterday as well, Joe, against Arizona in overtime. Your boy Bryce Young just out there slinging it. And according to Tankathon.com, the Titans have now moved, Joe, from the 6th overall pick to number 4. So moving in the right direction with that loss to Indy yesterday, according to Tankathon.com.
So I saw somebody said, it might have been on the text line actually, that if the Titans lose the last two, they are guaranteed 3 at worst. Is that right?
I believe that would be correct. Okay. Because then Jacksonville would jump them, who's currently at 3. So yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. So looking up, but now of course we can continue the, but who should be making these picks?
Yeah.
You know? Conversation, but it's close. That's the thing. It's like, so you're close to, you know, if we do believe that these quarterbacks are going 1 and 2, then I have no idea. The whole draft process could change things, of course, right? But you're close to that being that position of power where it doesn't mean you have to take one of those two, but where you may have someone who really, really likes one of them who is willing to give you a whole bunch of stuff. So you can get out of that pick, which is, of course, the key to John Robinson's ability to quickly turn things around for this franchise in 2016.
Well, let's say you lose to Jacksonville this week. They jump you, so you're down to 3 there. It does bring up, Joe, old wounds of what some discussed at the time of why in the world would you go out there in overtime and beat the New England Patriots? If you just lost to the Patriots, you'd be there in your top 2. Now, having said that, you know, the Giants are just absolutely terrible. I mean, you know, likelihood is they're going to end up with the number 1 overall pick. They're 2-13. They don't look like they're approaching sniffing a win anytime soon. So they're bad. They need a quarterback. So there's no doubt about that. New England, right now at number 2, I would assume doesn't need a quarterback after you just took Drake May in last year's draft.
So he's looking good.
So because of that, like if you lose to Jacksonville, and you end up losing out this season, and you end up 3-14. You'll be number 3 in the draft, and unless somebody jumps you to get to New England for that pick,
which they may do,
you would have a chance to draft a quarterback at that time. If it goes the way we think it will, and it's Sanders and Ward as the two first round quarterbacks.
That's why the second pick could be so key for New England, right? Because then they can bail out of there, get a bunch of stuff, and then screw you over, you know, while you – and again, Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, like this is the best that's available. I think.
Are either one of those guys worth number one or number two overall?
Right. It's like every year, almost, not 2 years ago, but every year almost, just whoever happens to be best will go one in the draft. Right. But being best of this class of quarterbacks, you know, should still probably be like 18th pick or something. Right. So, but it's like you said, they're moving to a position where if they do decide, and I assume it's these people who are here during the doing the job round, I'm gonna go with that assumption.
Are we gonna be praying for them too? Arden Key wants us to pray for the team right now. So, like, do we do that with Brian Callahan and Grant Carthon as well? They included.
I pray for everybody, us, the fans, everybody.
Okay. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, pray for us as we talk about the draft on December 23rd. it's just if you are into one of these quarterbacks and you do your evaluation, and you are at least now. I mean, you're right there circling. Of course, they were again also 2 years ago. I said 2 years ago earlier when I'm talking about it was actually 3 years ago with the bad quarterback draft of 22, but 2 years ago, 2023, they were right there for the guy they liked, they wanted, but they couldn't quite get him, C.J. Stroud.
Yep, absolutely.
Things might look a little different around here right now had they done that.
Yep, might look a little bit different, or maybe C.J. Stroud would look a little bit different. I don't know.
Well, there is that too. It's always the question, right? Chicken and egg.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes into that. One idea that I don't think was a prevalent one anyway, but I did see some of and saw a little bit more of on Titans Twitter after the first quarter where he went 8 of 8 for 86 yards and a touchdown yesterday. The idea of, well, look, guys, if you're going to sign a bridge quarterback anyway, just make it Mason Rudolph next year. I think we can safely put that to rest now. We don't need to see any more of Mason Rudolph, certainly next season, starting football games for this team.
I mean, I didn't need this to put it away. It's just never been a thing. I understand there's like a couple like Steelers fans in town who like only watched like 17% of his snaps when he was with the Steelers. They're like, that guy's a Cracker Jack quarterback. Like, no, he's a backup QB in the league, man. It's just what it is. No, I don't understand that. That one's got to be put away. The Ryan Tannehill comeback thing, put it away. It's not happening. 0.0, you know, chance. Bluto Blutarski's grade point average, 0.0, okay? what else can we put away? I mean, I guess we can't put away Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I guess I'd keep my mind open on just about any veteran possibility, including that bleep show. But, yeah, Mason Rudolph is a backup quarterback in the league. And, yes, they would, if he had played all year at quarterback, what would their record be, Robbie? He'd taken every snap this year for this team. What would their record be right now?
Well, they might have 5 wins right now, maybe.
Yeah.
So get excited.
About right. Couple more wins. Yeah. Yep. Right. I mean, it's just, and again, and that's not to put it all on him, but he's just, I mean, he's a backup quarterback. He's a solid veteran backup quarterback. Top 10, maybe. Top 10, I'd say, possibly.
Fringe.
Top 10. Yeah.
That's 615-737-1025, our phone number. More reaction to the Titans' loss to Indy. And I do want to get Joe's thoughts on some veteran quarterbacks, including some reaction to what Charles Robinson had to say on our program on Friday as well. We'll get into some of that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Joe, I love this Christmas song. This may be my favorite Christmas song.
It's a good one. I like it.
Good thoughts.
I mean, yeah, it's fine. It wouldn't be like way high on my list, but it's one that I would be happy to have in the rotation. And it's December 23rd, so it's fine to play these songs now.
It's acceptable. That's right. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Titans lose 38-30 to the Indianapolis Colts. They dropped to 3-12 on the season. We'll get Joe's thoughts on the PNC Championship between Tiger and Charlie Woods a little bit later in the program, too.
Yeah, thanks for alerting me. Oh, you sent me a tweet, too. I can't wait to watch it.
I'm sure you can't. So, Joe, we had Charles Robinson on Friday. And went through the options at quarterback for the Titans that could be out there for veterans via free agency, via trade, whatever the case may be. We've gone through a lot of the names from Justin Fields to Sam Darnold and all that stuff. You know, kind of three we focused in on Friday are three that are not guaranteed to be available. Kirk Cousins, Matthew Stafford, Aaron Rodgers. And Charles basically said he doesn't expect Stafford to be available. He almost guarantees that Kirk Cousins will be available. Michael Penix gets in there, and he's going to be the starter for Atlanta moving forward here. And he feels like that's going to work out to where Cousins becomes available as a free agent. So Cousins will be out there unless he decides to hang it up at the end of this year. And then there's the Rodgers part of this. You know, what are the Jets going to do at quarterback? Who do they hire as general manager and head coach to come in? Can they get past their owner making decisions based off Madden long enough to make, you know, some actual football decisions when that happens? And what does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? Rodgers has not played great this year. They lost again yesterday. I think they're 4-11 on the year. And Charles said, I'm sure that Aaron Rodgers would like to play for the Titans. Kind of in the context of, I'm sure if he wants to play, he'd go take a starting quarterback job anywhere next year if he wants to just continue to go out there and play ball. I kind of have my doubts that he would play for the Titans. I think if he's going to play, it's going to be for a team that he thinks can win a championship. That's just me. I don't know what that opportunity out there looks like for him. But what do you make of those three options? Didn't sound overly optimistic about Stafford being a realistic option. Cousins, he thinks, will be available. And who knows on Aaron Rodgers, but did say that he thinks Aaron Rodgers might like to play here.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's not a great situation. I mean, obviously, to me, of those three, I would jump up and down for Matthew Stafford. I mean, I still think Matthew Stafford has a lot of game left in him and has some tread on the tires. You know, Aaron Rodgers just... It is hard to sometimes to separate. I feel like I've said bleep show so many times already here, but it's hard to separate him from the bleep show, right? And he's part of it. He's part of the circus, and then hilariously says like distractions are their problem, like all that stuff.
Keep all the non-football stuff out of the building.
Yeah, and then you watch him play, and it's just he kind of looks like Aaron Rodgers that we remember, but I don't think there's any question he's diminished. So between how much has he diminished, how much is the overall just disaster there make it seem worse, if it does, and then if he came to your organization, you know, I mean, certainly if Titans fans want attention, I hear that a lot over the years, right? Like no one ever pays attention to Titans. Well, that would change with Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
But does that give you, does that get you closer to winning football? I'll say this for Cousins too. If you could, and I don't know, I mean, it's weird to me that he seems to have just lost everything here before he got benched when he played really well early. So it's not like he hasn't played it well at all this year. He played really well early coming off that Achilles, but is it just like the wear and tear of going through a season and now it's affecting him more? I don't know. He was never mobile anyway.
Yeah.
And that's my thing for Kirk Cousins. It's like, I think Kirk Cousins coming to a place and give you a solid QB play. And like, could Cousins be Tannehill-ish for this team or another team, you know, to get you to a level of solid play? Yeah. And win. I think he could, if you can protect him, because he is so protection dependent as much as anybody in the league. And obviously we know what the reality is of this Titans team and its offensive line. You also, to me, it's like you do hope that the Bill Callahan effect in player acquisition, development, all that stuff starts to kick in next year.
You do. I look at it like this. Like Cousins, you're right. It's weird because he played great at the beginning of the year. Like we were like, wow, look at Kirk Cousins coming off the Achilles. He's slinging the ball around the yard for Atlanta. They're going to go win the NFC South. They'll make the playoffs, and we'll see what kind of a run they can make once they get there. And then he just fell off the cliff. So does that have anything to do with the Achilles injury, or is that just a slump that he went in? Like, some of it, Joe, I like watching him play, I don't know how much of it was the Achilles when you're just coming back and you're staring somebody down and throwing the ball right to the other team. Like,
yeah,
that wasn't Achilles-related to me. It was just – horrendous decision making.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. There also have been some throws, though, where it's like you wonder about just the ability to push off and things right. like that, too. But, yes, decision-making has been part of it. It's all of it. Just, I mean, it just spiraled. Very weird and not like him. I mean, he's always been a good quarterback, and then people start thinking, is he a great quarterback? And then he'll have a bad performance or lose a playoff game, you know, whatever. So, you know, great is not true, but good for sure for a long time.
Yeah.
And the last stretch of his – playing was bad. Is you know, you can't find a lot of bad in his career. So what does that mean moving forward? You know, I would still have to guess that like he could still do the job pretty well, but again, if he has a good situation around him. So I mean, that's the problem for the Titans, is they have so much to fix on all these different fronts. And you know, it's also if you're a quarterback, like if you're Cousins, and it ends up being a release situation with the Falcons, why is he excited to come here?
Yeah.
You know, let's see, they don't protect their quarterbacks, and they're bad. They're terrible. Yeah. No, sign me up for that. You know, they also have to be able to, unless you swing a trade, you have to be able to, or draft someone. How do you attract a free agent here? Look, if Aaron Rodgers truly is interested, well, good for him. He wants to just, you know, end in a blaze of glory in Nashville, then, hey, that may be your only option.
Well, I mean, on that front, as PK pointed out Friday, like him being interested in here is one thing. Titans being interested in him is another. And look, I've watched him a fair amount this year. He doesn't look the same. Like, he's not the same player as he used to be. Now, every now and then, like a couple weeks ago against Jacksonville, he had some plays and some moments where, I mean, it was vintage Rodgers looking, right? Like, he had a couple throws to Davante Adams in that game where you're just like, geez, like, look at the ball placement on that. So it's not like he's totally falling off a cliff here. But I think the real question with that is, like, are you in a spot as a team, as an organization, where that move is worth it? Like, what does he bring that would make that worth it at this point in his career? Because what you know he's going to bring is a lot of attention, a lot of it that has nothing to do with the football team. And quite frankly, like, assuming that everybody's back in their role next year, Brian Callahan's the head coach, Rand Carthon's the general manager, I don't know that that's the best idea for Brian Callahan either. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but the Rodgers can be a little bit difficult to work with. And I don't know that that's exactly what Brian Callahan needs right now in a situation where he's going to be fighting for his job next year. Now, could he win you a few more games? Maybe. But he'll also be 42 at some point next year, too. And that's, you know, something to keep in mind there. Like, he's not an ascending player. He's not getting any better from where he is right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine right now Nick Holes, you know, dealing with Aaron Rodgers being like, shut up, man. I'm calling the play, you know, or I'm making the game plan.
Yeah.
I would have to think that privately that would be something Brian Callahan would think about and be like, ooh, man, you know, like why do we want to sign up for that? You sign up for Rodgers. Well, the Jets did because they thought he was a final piece to a great roster, and obviously he wasn't, you know, so he – it's just hard for me to believe. I understand him not wanting to go out like this, but I just have a hard time believing that he wants to go out hoping to get a team to 8-9.
Yeah,
you know? I just don't see it. That's hard for me to buy. So, and a lot of negativity on the text line about all these options. I get it, but again, this is the veteran reality. So, you know, the other thing you can obviously do is you can plan to get your quarterback in this next draft one way or the other. If those top two guys aren't possible, there are other possibilities. But, you know, that's another thing too. What, you know, if the Titans do the second round flyer thing with like a Carson Beck, a Milroe, something like that. I mean, it could work out, but is that the smart way to do it right now? I don't think you take a quarterback just because you need a quarterback. You take one because you actually believe that person will be great.
Yep, no doubt about it. Quick audible for you, Joe Rexroad. Paul Kuharsky's coming up next on the program.
Oh.
PK's thoughts on the Colts loss yesterday, his thoughts on the current state of the local professional football team. Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Titans lose 38-30 to the Indianapolis Colts yesterday to fall to 3-12. At one point, down 38-7 in the game. Just an absolute beauty put out there. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 the game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. How's it going?
It's going really well. Appreciate
super
you taking time to be with it. So, PK, you and I had a lot of discussion last week about the comments from Brian Callahan and whether or not the Titans were soft and his rant that he went into last week. And then they go out there yesterday and they allow 335 yards on the ground on 50 carries by the Indianapolis Colts. How do you reconcile and explain what we saw on that front yesterday?
Well, they did not exactly back him up, I would say, in terms of being physically or mentally tough against the run, which, you know, is generally the first hallmark of all of that. It's also the way they respond to it. You know, Devondre Sweat told Nick Suss, like, you got to watch the film. Like, there's some magical, mystical revelation on the film that makes it look not that bad. Or Jeffrey Simmons says, stopping the run is easy. Well, you know, show us that it's easy. And then he made sure to say, you know, it's an 11-man job. Like, not my job. There are a lot of guys who wanted it not to be their fault yesterday. Not a lot of guys, I didn't feel like, raising their hand saying, you know, I was part of the problem. It's just, you know, and then Simmons talking a lot about it. Well, it was that gap scheme that got us in Washington. Like, you know, if we're run on in that gap scheme, well, that doesn't qualify somehow as real or substantive run game. Like, well, that's in a different basket over here. If you're doing it that way, it doesn't really count. But it's just some mental confusion about what giving up a lot of run yards means against them, and a lot of kind of excuses or pardoning of it. I just don't get it. And, you know, I'm anxious to talk to Denard Wilson. This is one of those situations where it's silly to have to wait until Thursday, an awkward week too. I don't know what our schedule is for sure because we're not working on Wednesday, obviously, but it's kind of inexplicable what they did in terms of run defense. Not kind of, it is.
Yeah, I don't know, PK. I mean, I'm going to side with them a little bit. I mean, the gap scheme's only been around for about 140 years, you know. So you gotta think that's got to be kind of difficult. Actually, I would love to see the film on this, you know, like the film session breakdown of, because like it really. I mean, look, let's in all seriousness profess our limitations, right? Like, I mean, you know, it can be an execution error here, a misfit there, but when you get to 300 plus, when you get to numbers that like Jonathan Taylor had when he was at Wisconsin playing against Kent State, you know, then you have to think there's some lacking effort and intensity and toughness, right?
Yes. I'd like to see the film session with coaches going over it with them, but I don't know why I have to be punished that with them telling me I have to watch it again. I came to Indianapolis. I saw it. You know, I'm struggling like everybody to make it through the season, and they're telling me, go watch it again. I want to pass on that. I already saw it once, and then I rewatched the big Taylor runs. I've seen enough, like most of the fan base.
So, PK, as you look at the way this all played out yesterday, I really enjoyed your piece at PaulKuharski.com where the Titans are kindly requesting the prayers of the people. Arden Key putting it out there that pray for us. Lord, help us here on this. What did you make of just the falling down 38-7 to that team? Like, nobody's confusing Indianapolis for a Super Bowl contender. You're down 38-7 at one point in this game. And we talked earlier in the year about how the rest of this year are going to be a big case study for Brian Callahan. Like, can he keep this thing together as they move forward? And yeah, they battled back. They made it 38-30. I don't really care about that. Like, that was not an inspiring performance for the team to help out their head coach yesterday.
No, not at all. And, you know, I mean, I'm still with the continuity club, but I had some expectations here. I actually thought they were going to win that game, and I don't mean during the comeback. I mean going into it. I don't think Indianapolis is very good at all. And, I mean, Anthony Richardson proved that, but he was completely unnecessary in that game. Titans managed to make the quarterback position irrelevant for their opponent, which is – pretty impressive feat. I don't know. That just didn't really have anything. And then they talk about that. Peter Skoronski said the same thing that was in the Mike Herndon story that set off the whole toughness and toughness conversation in the first place. He said it on October 23rd. You know, that they reach an inflection point and they can't live up to it, and then they fall apart. And yesterday he said, you know, any little thing happens and doesn't go well, and it's a mudslide. So I think that's really telling. You know, 2 months apart, one of your key guys sees the same exact thing with your team, that it just can't handle any kind of adversity and doesn't survive anything, withstand anything, stand up to anything.
So I saw T-Mac, Terry McCormick's tweet about, so it's 20 and 20 combined for Levis and Rudolph, and they have the exact same QB rating, which is quite a feat. Shouldn't the Titans just go back to Levis?
I don't think it should have gone away from Levis, but I feel like once he made the move to Rudolph, he was saying it was for the rest of the way. So I'm surprised he left the door open to go back to Levis now. And I think he looks kind of flaky if he changes again. So to me, the move last week to Rudolph seemed like it was the move. And yesterday he says, I don't know. So I don't think he looks, I mean, he doesn't look good in a lot of ways, but I think going back to Levis looks really weak now. But
I don't disagree. I'm just trying to maximize the like tolerability of watching these last two games.
Yeah, well, I don't know where that ranks on his pro-con scale. I personally would like for it to rank higher. But look, I mean, my trip to Jacksonville is not going to be made or broken by Will Levis playing or not playing. It's going to be bad either way, I would presume. I'm looking at one of those two guys and Mac Jones. So, you know, what's the tolerability factor either way? I mean, not good.
Yeah. No,
Just remember, don't use that urinal that's right next to the sink with no divider between them if you can do it at all costs in Jacksonville. You know what I'm talking about.
Your bathroom fascination is very disturbing.
I mean, it's one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Back me up.
I don't put a lot of thought into it. If I have to pee, I go pee.
Flow away then. All right, then. Let her rip.
I get back to the chocolate fountain. Which no longer exists.
PK, I want to ask you about Arden Key. So Arden Key before the season, yeah, we talked about this quote a lot where he basically said, you know, Shane Bowen, old coaching staff, didn't make any adjustments. Like, there are no corrections out there.
That's true.
And then we've gone full circle now. He said yesterday they didn't adjust, and you ask why they didn't adjust. I don't know. I don't know why not. That's a coach's question. I don't know why not. So I guess the coaching around here has just been unbelievably bad the last few years. They don't make any adjustments, and we've gone full circle with Arden Key. Now Damn. The old coaching staff doesn't make any adjustments, nor does the new one.
Damn, I wish I remembered that Shane Bowen thing, and I could have really kept going. I sacrificed talking to Simmons for my private time with Arden, which was productive. But it
pretty
could have
good,
been more
pretty
productive.
Worthwhile.
Could have been more productive if I had your memory. So I will circle back to him on that this week. Yeah, sounds like several years of not adjusting. And it certainly seemed like, I mean, they didn't do anything different against the run. I don't know if you saw the moment in the broadcast But somebody called my attention to it, so I went and taped it and put it out. But they had an extensive conversation between Brian and Bill Callahan.
Yes. Did you ever get good lip reading?
And then they cut away from it, and then they cut back to it. Well, John Boy, who covers the Yankees and does a ton of baseball stuff, does major lip reading and context clues and stuff. So some people have tagged him on that. So maybe we'll get back to it. But also, of course, that tweet lends itself to people pretend lip reading and just having them say what they want them to say. So don't get caught up in that thread unless you really want to be banging your head against the wall.
We should do a contest this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Closest, if John Boy actually comes through for us, who comes closest to what John Boy comes up with?
I hope John Boy does that. That'll be good stuff. PK, last thing for you. I do want to get your thoughts on this quote from Mo Alie-Cox that was put out there from the Colts yesterday. Quote, "It's hilarious because we went out there and they were like, oh, it's a screen. And then one of the DEs was like, man, they're about to give it to Jonathan Taylor. He's about to run for 300 on us. Once he said that, I was like, yeah, we got him." That's what Mo Alie-Cox had to say about the Titans yesterday. What are you? What's your reaction to that quote?
Well, I mean, I would presume that DE is Arden Key, not a DE, but an outside linebacker. I mean, who are the candidates there? I don't think Sebastian Joseph Day is talking like that.
I doubt it was Harold Landry.
Harold Landry, I don't think is doing a lot of talking in any situation, right? So it doesn't surprise me that there would be a defeatist Titan on the field in the middle of all of that. It would surprise me if there wasn't.
Yep, no doubt. PK, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Merry Christmas, boys. Thanks.
Absolutely. PK, hey, PK, we'll see you Wednesday morning, man. Show up just like you always do, same time. We'll be there. All right? We'll see you at the studio.
He left. He's gone.
Damn it.
I think he left in the middle of you saying that, too, so just wanted no part of what you were saying.
He had no answer. By the way, someone on the Dustin from Hopkinsville said, PK is a guy when there's 6-year-olds open, you're at the 7th in the corner, and he chooses the one right next to you. You're so right, Dustin.
We did talk about this on Friday, like your fascination with that urinal. And he's got the fascination. Apparently, an old chocolate fondue fountain in Jacksonville that no longer is there.
I did not get to experience that. Yeah. Oh, no, I guess I do remember that. Downstairs, that's right. Yeah. I don't know, man. Between the chocolate fountain, the milky pool, and the fact that if you're trying to wash your hands and someone's at that urinal, you're going to get splatter from both the sink and the urinal, it's quite a place.
Just a great visual image to head into that. By the way, going to be in the 70s in Jacksonville this weekend. So, number one, congratulations, Jarvis Browning. Going to be warm enough to play. And number two, might see some people in that milky pool next weekend.
That's exciting. PK should be excited for this trip. This is great. He's going to have a good time.
We'll take your reaction to what PK had to say there. 615-737-1025. A couple more thoughts to get to. Coming up next with Rex Road, we'll do that. Corey Curtis will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game this Friday for Vanderbilt football presented by Prince's Hot Chicken. Commodores taking on Georgia Tech in the Birmingham Bowl with pregame beginning at 1 o'clock, kickoff at 2:30. Coverage also available on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Also tune in on Monday for the Transperfect Music City Bowl. Chase and Big Joe will have pregame coverage starting at noon, kickoff at 1:30. Music City Bowl coverage presented by Hi-Fi Buys. Appreciate Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com for being with us in the last segment. The film study part of this is pretty interesting, Joe. Like, I would love to know, going back through the 335 yards of rushing that you allowed yesterday, what the film shows in that one. Just go look at the film. Go watch the film. Okay.
Yeah.
We're watching it.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, sometimes people say that, like during this week or something, maybe Denard Wilson, when he has his availability, be like, well, watch the film, whatever. But I mean, when you're saying it after the game, you don't know either, right? Like, you're just, and you don't know what the film shows, right? Although I'm sure there was some interesting look backs quickly from the sideline and some of those disgusting plays with the defensive guys. But, yeah, like PK said, how much more, you know, do people need to see? And I, like my buddy John Greenberg just tweeted, my God, the Bears play again Thursday. Who asked for this? You have to watch more Bears football on Thursday. It's like, you know, there's some of these teams, it's like, just please get it over with. And the Titans are certainly in that boat.
Yep, no doubt about that.
They shouldn't even have instant replay. They should actually eliminate instant replay in the broadcast of the Titans games.
Like, you don't need to see it, you know, again. Just like, trust
don't
us.
Have to watch any of the plays over ever. Yes.
Yeah, good stuff there. Joe, one other veteran guy I want to get your thoughts on real quick. So we threw out the Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and Matthew Stafford. Going to be interesting to see what happens in New Orleans with Derek Carr. So Derek Carr has played 10 games this year. He's completed 67.7% of his passes, 7-7 an attempt, which is pretty good, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's only been sacked 8 times in 10 games. Obviously, things are not going well for New Orleans, and he is on the outs there right now. You know, they're going to hire a new coach. Going to be interested to see what that looks like there in terms of his future, their ability to navigate around what is a pretty tough salary cap hole that they've dug themselves into. I don't know that he's going to be out there, going to be available. I don't know exactly what that looks like for his future, but I know it's at least an option that he could be out of there in New Orleans. What would you make of the idea of Derek Carr if you're the Tennessee Titans, who, by the way, has worked with Brian Callahan?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely worth discussing. I've heard TD make that case. He likes that. That's his top choice. And yeah, look, I think it's not bad. He's a decent bridge guy. He's a guy who will go through some stretches, and you know, it's like, man, you know, he can really sling it around, and then he'll make that killer mistake too. You know, the just mind-boggling pick. How much has he diminished here since being in New Orleans? It seems some.
Yep.
You know, I can't sit here and tell you I've watch that film a whole lot after the fact, you know. So it's not going to be some revolutionary ad, but I mean, I think it makes sense. He'd be one of those guys who could give you a decent play, give you a chance to win some games if you get yourself to the point where you're decent otherwise. And he may be a type of guy who maybe, you know, because like I said, I just don't see a lot of people picking the Titans at this point.
Yep.
If you're one of those aging guys, like, why are you going to a place that is one of the worst in the league? But maybe Derek Carr is a guy who it's either that or like you're somebody's backup at this point, and so maybe that would appeal to him.
Well, like, you know, maybe that would for him. You know, certainly for a guy like Fields, like if Fields is available, you know, the opportunity to start again in the league is something that it doesn't really matter where you are. Like, you'll yep. take that if you're Justin Fields. So there's going to be veteran options for them. The question is, like, how many good ones are they? And if there are good ones, how either willing are they to come here to play for your team, or how realistic is it for you to be able to acquire them to come for your team? That's kind of the conundrum that they're in. We've talked about Fields. Like, is it the worst possible scenario for the Titans to have Justin Fields? No. I also don't know that would be much of a needle mover for me in terms of improving the quarterback position for next year.
I don't know that I'm calling it a huge needle mover, but that's my top choice of these options, just because at least it's like it's someone young enough that there is still the possibility for improvement. And also, look, I think right now, given the state of this team, you have to have somebody who can avoid pass rush on his own and also be a threat with his legs and give defenses that to think about. I mean, I think it'd be entertaining. It could be fun. And, you know, he's not bad. I would go that route before going with one of these older guys at this point. But no, it's not exciting either. Like, you're not expecting him to come in here and all of a sudden be NFL comeback player of the year. You know, he is a guy who, if you were able to get then a young quarterback here with him, he could be a decent bridge guy to that. But the problem is, you know, so what does that mean? How are you acquiring the young guy?
Yeah, it's a great question. Deagle on the YouTube chat says we need a post-game Paul Kuharsky podcast from the Jacksonville pool. Maybe something to look forward to on Sunday.
Or the urinal. And by the way, I've got some support from within the Titans building about, yes, it is a very bizarre situation with the urinal. Hey, I got a text from Robbie who says, does Joe think all these clowns should be fired yet, or is he still a fanboy?
Well,
I just want you to know, I have purchased, I hope he's not listening, because I've purchased a skillet, a spatula, a chef hat, and I've already sent it to Rand with the thing on the box. It just says, keep cooking, Rand. So yeah, I hope that answers your question.
Very nice.
5-year extensions all the way around.
We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. We will get back into Tennessee and Ohio State coming up in the 8 o'clock hour as well. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight-up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas-style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21+.
Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.